And so what does it say that a foreign country is able to spend $30 million in rural Kentucky to tell rural Kentuckians, no, we don't like your representative. We want a different one. The representative of the small town people of rural Kentucky is not supporting Israel's war in the Persian Gulf. So we veto that. We're going to come in with all these billionaire Jews from New York and LA and Miami. We're going to come in with all this billionaire Jewish money. These are people that have never set foot in Kentucky. They don't give a shit about Kentucky. They probably hate people from Kentucky. But they got deep pockets because they're institutional. They run the institutions that keep the global empire going. So they take their limitless resources, limitless cash, which is also transnational. They have their connections in Europe, in the Middle East, in Asia, and elsewhere. They pour this money in, and they effectively tell the people in Kentucky, we don't like your guy. We want a more compliant guy. You know, he can vote on your stuff. We don't really care about your stuff, but he's going to submit to our interests. And what this tells us is that Israel effectively has hegemony. We do not have sovereignty. Sovereignty is the ability to determine what happens inside your borders. Whatever your system of government is, whether it's a monarchy, a democracy, it's that either the king, your king, or the people, your citizenry, your voters, they get to determine what happens inside your borders and how the taxes are collected and what they're spent on and when we go and kill and die in a conflict. If Israel has that much influence over the legislative process, which is to say the picking and choosing of the elected representatives, then do they not control our country? Do they not have a sphere of influence in America? Does it not suggest that whether it's Randy Fine in Florida or Ed Gallrein in Kentucky or Chuck Schumer in New York, that these United States are a part of their sphere of influence, that their money and their media power and their oligarchical pull and influence actually exerts gravity on rural Kentucky? Obviously, that is the conclusion. And so it means that the whole system is a farce. If at the end of the day, a congressman cannot say no to Israel, then that means the buck stops with Israel, and in particular, Jewish billionaires. If a representative, hi, I'm a representative, I'm the spokesperson of the sovereign citizens of the Republic of the United States of America, but I cannot tell my Jewish backers no. If I vote a certain way, a Jewish billionaire is going to inject $50 million into my race and I lose my seat and I have problems with my family, then they control the whole system. They control the whole process. They control the appropriations. They control the nominations, the executive branch. They control the whole thing. We're not a free country. We are not an independent, free, strong nation. That makes us a vassal of Israel. That makes us a puppet regime of Israel. How is that any different than in some backwater South American or African country or some kind of Pacific Oceanic microstate? If the CIA doesn't like your leader, if the CIA doesn't like the alignment of your latest regime, let's say you do too much business with China, you buy too many weapons from Russia, so the CIA comes in and installs some new leader, who's really in control of your country? You're a puppet of the United States. How is that any different than if Israel doesn't like the American president? Like, let's say, for example, Joe Biden? Then all the Jewish billionaires like Miriam Adelson and Bill Ackman and the rest of them are going to pour millions of dollars in some cases, hundreds of millions of dollars. And they're going to bring in the full weight of the Jewish media. And you're going to have guys like Larry Ellison involved. And Zuckerberg is not going to support Biden this time around. And they're going to install a more compliant president like Trump, who's going to give him TikTok, who's going to give him Harvard, who's going to give him a war in Iran, who's going to give him the 2,000-pound bombs, who's going to ban the anti-Semites from getting a visa or going to the World Cup. And in the end, something like today, if a single solitary congressman doesn't want to vote for that kind of stuff, they're going to overthrow him too. How is that any different? That makes us, as clear as it can possibly be, a puppet regime of Israel. And how is it maintained? It's maintained through our Jewish oligarchy.
There is a war raging for the future of humanity. We have opened a new front at alexjoneslive.com. They thought they could silence us. They thought they could drive us off the air. They failed. We are back. Stronger. Louder. Unbroken. Find the feeds. Hear the broadcast. Share the signal. AlexJonesLive.com. The coordinates of freedom.
This is an emergency transmission from FEMA Region 6 in occupied North America.
They thought they could silence us. They thought they could drive us off the air. They failed. We are back, stronger, louder, unbroken. Find the feeds. Hear the broadcast. Share the signal at AlexJonesLive.com.
AlexJonesLive.com. We've only just begun to fight.
I disavow it outright. We would never suggest landing a full force open hand slap across the face of any of those gentlemen, ladies. We would never in a million years dream of gently taking off Bill Gates's glasses and then smacking him in the face right in the nose like he deserves it. Never. Us? No, we would never. It's a great video, though. That was a very funny video. Very funny AI video. That's how AI should be used, I think, personally. I think that's a great way to use it. So, let's talk about anti-Semitism. Hell, let's talk about anti-Semitism forever, every day. Let's talk about nothing else. Because our government seems obsessed with this concept, and I don't know if the Thomas Massie election was some sort of starting gun or something, but yesterday was the day. And there's so much of this, I can't even keep track of it. I keep thinking I see the same story posted over and over, and I'm like, oh no, wait, that's a whole different Jewish security bill being put forward. So yesterday, all yesterday, Federal Task Force to Combat Anti-Semitism announces 15-city National Awareness and Action Tour. From the Justice Department, May 19th, the Department of Justice Task Force to Combat Anti-Semitism today announced the launch of a 15-day National Awareness and Action Tour to combat anti-Semitism, which is interesting. I guess that would be kind of like a state religion. It's kind of like we have a state religion. It's kind of like we live in like a Jewish theocracy almost. I guess when the federal government is sending out contingents, diplomats, to go, you know, support a single religion over all the others to compel Americans to be subservient and, you know, comply with the dictates of this one religion. I guess we sort of have a state religion now. That's how that works. That was just one thing. Meanwhile, sweeping new IHRA anti-Semitism bill put forward. Bipartisan U.S. senators unveil sweeping anti-Semitism security bill. This allocates $1 billion to Jewish communities, censor speech critical of Israel /Zog, censor students critical of Israel /Zog, censor online speech critical of Israel /Zog. The bill is introduced by two Israel-funded Zog agents, Zog, of course, being Zionist-occupied government. The measure will require the Department of Education to designate an anti-Semitism coordinator and lay out new regulations to combat anti-Semitism at colleges. That received DOE funding, including requiring those colleges to establish non-discrimination policies in grievance processes. It would also boost nonprofit security grant funding to $1 billion that can be used by Jewish communities, as well as create a new grant that can be used for places of worship. The bill would, in addition, require new disclosures about how online platforms moderate and respond to anti-Semitic content. So again, I can go through and sort of you know, compare and contrast like what the reasons they say this is for and like why they say this is doing this versus like what it's actually doing. But I think it's better to just lay out what they're actually doing, right? They're going to couch it in language that disguises the real purpose of this, but it shouldn't be all that confusing. They're trying to make criticism of Jewish people illegal in this country, and they're making big strides in doing this. They're trying to destroy the First Amendment in all of its component parts, right? The First Amendment isn't just freedom of speech. It's freedom of the press. It's freedom of religion. It's freedom of, to petition the government for redress of grievances. It's all of these things. So they're destroying the First Amendment. They're installing Judaism as the state religion. They're taking for themselves privileges that are not afforded people who aren't in their group. And they're paying for a private security force that will protect them and them alone, but they're doing it with government money, taxpayer money. And they're doing this all over the world. And in places like England and Australia, it's even more egregious and more insane. You know, like UK is maybe the best example where you've got time after time after time after time, white people being targeted by Muslims, being viciously attacked, the grooming gangs, the stabbings, it goes on and on. And the only response from the UK government is to call the people who are mad about that far right extremists and literally throw them in jail. Meanwhile, two Jewish guys and a Muslim guy get stabbed by an insane Muslim dude. They don't even die. Like they, you know, they're not even murdered, but they do get stabbed. And it wasn't targeting Jews. It was targeting random people. Two of them happened to be Jews, but others weren't. But it doesn't matter. None of that matters because in response to that, they had like multiple memorial services. Keir Starmer, who, of course, came out and called everybody who was mad about, you know, the Southport stabbings, far right racist, and threw them in jail for being outraged that their children were murdered, goes and gives like tearful speeches where he talks about the utmost importance of protecting the Jewish population in the UK and how it basically, you know, defines who they are, and they'll, you know, go above and beyond. They'll do whatever it takes to protect, you know, the poor innocent Jews. And they do. I mean, it's not just words. They actually give them, like they do here in America, tens of millions of pounds to provide for their own private security forces who are armed, right? So in Australia and the UK, each time there's an incident like the shooting at Bondi Beach, more gun control legislation goes forward. They take the arms from everybody in Australia except the Jewish people, who are actually given carve-outs and allowed to carry guns and allowed to employ armed guards whenever they want for whatever they want. In the UK, they do this. They have like a special name for the, you know, Jewish police. And it's funny because there will be instances where the Jewish police will be abusing somebody they're arresting, like kick them in the head. And then it gets reported on as if it's the UK police, but it's not. It's a private security group that is there only and solely to protect the Jews. They just don't get the same training that normal police do, so they're more violent. Maybe that's on purpose. I don't know. So that's happening here in America now, too. Already, Jewish groups get something like 94% of all Homeland Security grants. So, you know, if you know any Jewish people, like, their preschools are almost like prisons. And I don't think it's a healthy way to live, exactly. But it probably feels pretty safe that basically every Jewish school, every synagogue is provided with like over the top extreme security courtesy of the taxpayer around them. So like, I don't necessarily begrudge them having security. I think they should pay for it themselves. And I think that if you're going to be giving out grants to religious groups on the basis of them being attacked, churches are attacked at a significantly higher rate than Jewish places are attacked. And the majority of attacks against Jewish places are false flags by Jewish people or by black people. And it's like every week there's a new example. Earlier this week, there's a video of a guy going around spraying swastikas. He's a progressive black dude. So they take these like nonviolent, but like, you know, graffiti on the side of a synagogue. They count that as an anti-Semitic attack. And then they take taxpayer dollar on the basis of this. So already, like I said, they get 94% or so of Homeland Security grants that are just meant for places of worship. They all just go to the Jewish groups. And, you know, probably some of that money just gets turned back around into AIPAC or whatever else. It's sort of a self-fulfilling, you know, cycle they have in operation. But they're getting, you know, like another $1 billion injected specifically into them. Now, this story is from last year, I believe, but it just shows that like they've been trying to do this for about 3 years now. Like 2024, they really started putting forward the IHRA definition. They already have. I mean, it's already established that there is an office of anti-Semitism in every single federal office. So every federal office has an oversight, you know, Jewish committee. Basically, like they're there to make sure that everything in that federal office complies with the demands of the Jewish lobby and the, you know, Israeli oligarchy. So that means that, like, if you're in education, everything has to be in line with the education that they want to teach you. If you're in whatever else, it's like everything has to be aligned with what these people want. So that is a theocracy. That's a takeover of our federal government by a religious group. And it's obviously contrary to the First Amendment. So how are they able to do this? How are they able to achieve this? Why is Trump going along with this? I think I have an answer to that question. I think we've seen a couple answers to that question recently, and I'll get to that in just a little bit. But this is from, I think, November 2024, actually. Pro-Israel censors America under the guise of anti-Semitism while America is getting ready for Thanksgiving. The Israel Network is busy meeting with congressional lawmakers to pass IHRA anti-Semitism bills that will criminalize criticism of Israel to include terrorism, just like the UK. So again, they put this forward. They you know, try to get this done. It was people like Matt Gaetz who stood up and said, hey, the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism basically says that we can't read portions of the New Testament without violating it. And so it became a bit of a sticking point. So the way they're dealing with that now is they're going to have a separate bill that's just about the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism, which is key to their whole thing. And it's the thing that lays out that Zionism is anti-Semitism and that, you know, it basically says any crimes committed by Jews, real or imaginary, like you just can't talk about it. Anything that like we've always said with hate speech, and this is the case with all hate speech, it's only invoked when reality matches the stereotype. Right. So if you talk about Jews using their money to influence, you know, American politics because they're actually loyal to Israel, you know, like that'll trip the wire. Even if you're repeating what they say under the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism, that's included. It literally just does not allow you to talk badly about Jews. And it says you're not allowed to say things like, you know, the Jews killed Jesus. It's like, all right, well, the Bible says that. So we're not allowed to read the Bible now. And this became a bit of a sticking point. And so they're basically rewriting it, you know, patching up some of the things people were complaining about and are putting it forward again. And they're going to do this over and over and over and over. And every time incrementally, we'll lose a little bit more of our freedom of speech. We'll normalize that much more the idea that speech or ideas are somehow violent and the Jews have a right to dictate to us what we're allowed to believe. So I'm against that personally. And I'm not sure why everybody isn't seeing this for what it is. Pro-Israel censorship under guise of anti-Semitism. And it just goes through all the various ways that every single aspect of our federal government is being weaponized by the Jewish diaspora against their enemies. DOJ announces a 15-citywide nationwide anti-Semitism awareness and action tour to increase reporting of anti-Semitism, strengthen collaboration between local, federal, law enforcement, and Jewish communities, and foster broad interfaith opposition to anti-Semitism amongst Jews, Baptist Christians, Catholics, and Muslims. So the goals of the tour include increasing reporting of anti-Semitic incidents by local officials, strengthening collaboration between local law enforcement, federal agencies, and Jewish communities. That's what we need. That's absolutely what we need more of. So again, okay, are we going to have a tour of anti-whiteness awareness action tour? Are we going to see an anti-Christian tour happen? Not anytime soon, because we're a theocracy. We're a Jewish theocracy. Bipartisan U.S. senators unveil sweeping anti-Semitism security bill. From social media to college campuses, we've seen how bigotry manifests into real-world violence against Jews, Rosen said. Rosen, one of the guys who's put this forward. That's why we must take concrete steps to understand the extent of anti-Semitism, both online and offline, and ensure that Jewish communities have access to robust security resources and government protection. See, one of the little sleight of hand tricks that these people will play is they'll say, no, we're talking about anti-Semitic crimes. We're talking about violence. You can think whatever you want. We would never try to impose our beliefs on you. Who, us? The righteous Jews? So they'll say, no, this is about violence. This is about the attacks that are happening, which If that's the case, then why do you need the laws? It's already illegal to physically assault somebody. What are you talking about? Right? We play the video. I mean, it's in the Eighth Front War, Shabbos, Kestenbaum. Send them to jail. I'll tell you what we do to anti-Semites. Send them to jail. When people question him on that, he said, oh, I said anti-Semitic crimes. I said if they commit crimes. Oh, you said if they commit crimes, send them to jail? You thought that necessary to say? No, we understand. When you say anti-Semitism, what you mean is the ideas, the words, the books, the movies, the... I mean, you don't have to do any actions. You know how I know? Because you say that the main focus of this bill is to stop anti-Semitism online. Well, you can't really commit violence online. You can say things online. You can express things online. They're not worried about crimes. They're not worried about violence. They're worried about your thoughts. They're worried about your words. They're worried about your resistance to their program. They're worried about the awareness levels rising, even though they're the ones doing it themselves. So just understand, this has nothing to do with anti-Semitic crimes. Those are already illegal. They're crimes, obviously. We already have hate speech. I don't think we should have hate crime anything. What they're saying is we need to police anti-Semitism online to protect Jewish people. The only thing that happens online is sharing ideas. So I don't think it's that hard to read through the lies and go, okay, you're trying to destroy the First Amendment. It's pretty simple, actually. Our nation is facing an epidemic of anti-Semitism. Year after year, we're seeing unprecedented levels of anti-Semitic violence and harassment. Jewish Americans are being targeted, attacked, and killed simply because of who they are. Not really. I mean, white people are. White people are murdered at like a shocking rate. We never get this level of interest from the federal government. They would never, ever, ever suggest that white people deserve protection, which again is interesting. And we'll go through some of the numbers here. The legislation now proposed includes $1 billion in security funding for houses of worship and other at-risk nonprofits, a key demand in the six-point security proposal that Jewish Federations of North America have been promoting on Capitol Hill. At-risk nonprofits. You know, it's like going back to the John Podoretz clip that we showed earlier, where he's like, yeah, Jews, you know, are massively overrepresented in political giving, but also charitable giving. And it's like, yeah, charities like the ADL, charities like the SPLC, who then get on camera and go, we're not looking out for some universal moral. We're looking out for the Jews and we protect the Jews. Which is one of these things where it's like, yeah, I give to charity. And you're just like giving it to a security guard to patrol your house. Yeah, I charitably donate to myself and my community. Great. So $1 billion towards Jewish groups who already get 94% of Homeland Security grants. DHS awards $94 million in grants to help 512 Jewish faith-based organizations from targeted violence and terrorism. This was from June of last year. So just remember, like every couple of months, there's some new bill to provide tens of millions, if not $1 billion, specifically to the Jewish community. So they can better protect themselves from the thoughts. They can better, guard against people disliking them or thinking that, I don't know, the American government upholds them over and above regular citizens in a way that is inconsistent with our moral values. The DHS is working to stop the deeply disturbing rise in anti-Semitic attacks across the United States. Okay. U.S. to spend $454 million securing religious institutions as anti-Semitism spikes. This was August 2024, right? So just like every 6 months or so, another $500 million directly to Jewish groups and communities so they can continue to protect themselves. So just, I mean, again, do you know how much money, do you have any idea how much money this is? Literally billions and billions and billions of dollars. What could you set up with billions and billions and billions of dollars? You could set up like a state of your own. You could have practically a state within a state. You could have security that amounted to a police force. You can have, you know, everything that you need for a state, but you can have it within a state and paid for by the taxpayers of that state who don't actually benefit from the security that you provide yourself with the money from the state. It's pretty interesting. Justice Department announces formation of advisory committee on anti-Semitism. President Trump has made combating anti-Semitism a top priority of the administration, and we thank Leo Terrell for his leadership at the Department of Justice. So this was May 19th. So again, are these the – like, these are all different, right? So you've got the Federal Task Force to Combat Antisemitism doing a 15-city nationwide awareness tour. You've got the Justice Department announcing the formation of an advisory committee on antisemitism. And you have the antisemitism bill put forward by Congressman Jackie Rosen and James Lankford all on the same day. All of these different things all at once, all on the same day. It's pretty interesting, I think. It's worth commenting on. And again, if this goes the way that Australia and, you know, England have gone, then, you know, I'm sure they'll use anti-Semitism as an excuse to take our guns and give guns only to Jewish groups. And won't that be nice for them? Now, here's where it, you know, here's where everything I'm saying will make a hell of a lot more sense. Jewish groups are far and away the safest demographic in the entire country, yet the only one our government cares about. So U.S. homicide rates by group per million. Black Americans experience homicide at 200 to 250 per million. Hispanic Americans experience homicide at 60 to 90 per million. For whites, it's 25 to 35 per million. For Asian Americans, it's 15 to 25 per million. For Jewish Americans, it's 3 to 4 per million. So white people are around 10 times more likely to be murdered than Jews in America. But we have three independent actions by the federal government to defend Jewish Americans over and above and exclusively despite this. Jews are killed at the lowest per capita rate of any large identifiable U.S. group. And yeah, they're, I mean, what would that be? 50 times as much as Black Americans? But yeah, 10 times. White Americans are 10 times as likely as Jews to be murdered, but And maybe that's because they get a couple billion dollars a year, 66.6 times. Okay, so you're 66% time, 66 times more likely to be killed as a black person in America than a Jewish person in America. Yeah, you know, maybe that's because of all the billion dollars that they get. I don't know if they need, like, I don't want any more Jews to be killed, but I don't think we have our priorities straight. I think there's a lot of other populations in this country that are targeted because of their identity, because they're white, because they're Christian. I mean, how many transgender shooters have we seen go into churches, kill children? Never seen anything like it in the Jewish community, but the Jewish community routinely receives gigantic cash injections of billions of dollars to set up their state within a state so that they can, you know, control what goes into your education, what's in your kids' textbooks. Obviously, they have people in social media to defend. So what's being set up? And again, America is actually happening at a slower pace than everywhere else because we have the First Amendment and they have to figure out ways to, you know, hollow that out and destroy that sort of incrementally. In other places like Australia and England, I mean, it's just straight up. They're just like, yeah, you know, Jews get to have guns, but nobody else does. Jews get money to defend themselves. Nobody else does. If a, you know, white guy gets murdered, you're a racist, far right terrorist for defending it. But if a Jewish person gets murdered, the whole government has to shut down and reorganize to make sure it never happens again. This is beyond just like unfair or like inconsistent. It's part of a plot that's moving forward. These are the pieces of the machine going into place. And soon the machine will be activated. I think we have 2 years. But they have about 2 years to get anti-Semitism bills passed, get all of those holding, you know, FEMA camps built. And then once everything's in place, it'll be like dominoes falling. And we'll have to take lessons from the communist revolutions of old.
I am so excited about the Alex Jones Network. I'm so excited to expand it. The bad guys are in trouble. Hell, we might even get InfoWars back. But who knows? But I couldn't have stood against this tyranny and fought them without your support. But a lot of people, not the majority, but 20-30%, believe the propaganda of the national news that we're off the air. And friends, family, neighbors, people at the gas station, Alex, I'm so sorry you're off the air. I'm so sorry, you know, the Onion runs your company. They didn't get it a year and a half ago with the fake auction. They didn't get it this time. They're blocked in court. They're in a lot of trouble, okay? We're winning, but I need funds for the defense and the offense and for the network and for everything we're doing. And I need your word of mouth to tell your email list, your text message list, your neighbors, your friends, your family. Hey, Alex Jones is verboten, forbidden info. He knows what he's talking about.
Alex Jones called this years ago. Years ago.
Here is the URL, alexjoneslive.com. He's on weekdays, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Harrison Smith after that. We're going to bring more shows on. but we need your support, your word of mouth, your prayer. You are everything, and your financial support at alexjonesstore.com. So listen to me. We have ultramethylene blue tincture, capsules, and now the gummies that are a concentrate of already the strongest best methylene blue. So look out when you get them. But they're selling out, more coming in a month or so. We have plenty of the tincture and the capsules, but not the gummies. If you want them, there's probably 3 or 4 days left of them. Get them now at thealexjonesstore.com. Separately, I can do hours on this. Just go to Wikipedia even. Go to the UN website. Even our enemies admit it. There's an average 15 IQ point reduction in the West because of lack of iodine in the soil and in our foods. Iodine is so good for women, children, adults, pregnant women, but especially older people. But most iodine is a bound iodine to another element. Atomic means on the periodic table, it is pure. We're the only people that put out the pure iodine. And we have it, T3 Trifecta Iodine, at thealexjonesstore.com. Get yours now. I got my iced tea right here. I take it about every 2 days. I'm going to take a dropper full of this bad boy. And this is so good for your brain, your clarity, your cells. It's essential. If you don't get iodine, you die. Again, you don't have oxygen 4 minutes, you're dead. Don't have water for 4 days, you're dead. Don't have food for a month or so, most person dies. You know, unless you're super fat, then you live 2 months or whatever. The point is, that's because you're not getting all the essential nutrients and vitamins. Iodine is one of the essential things. Look it up. And the number one cause of cognitive disability, officially, or even the World Health Organization, is iodine deficiency. So get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason this network continues on and can expand. You're funding folks that fight for your future and our own futures together, trying to stop a new war, trying to stop new pandemics, trying to stop the left, trying to take back civilization. It takes funds to do that. So we sell great products. So it's a 360 win. The only way we fail is you don't take action. Take action now, thealexjonesstore.com.
Today we celebrate the first glorious anniversary of the Information Purification Directive.
Order is the only path to stability.
Compliance is the only path forward.
Alex Jones is a fringe voice and a crackpot. Our unification of thought is more powerful a weapon than any fleet or army on Earth.
We have created, for the first time in all history, a garden of pure ideology. War is peace.
On May 1st, 2026, Alex Jones will launch his new network. And you will see that the answer to 1984 is still and will always be 1776.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Look, God promised them Kentucky 2,000 years ago, okay? Kentucky is the promised land. It is the holy land. It's the land of milk and honey. And it was promised to the Jews. Sorry. Sorry. Now you have to die. Now everyone in Kentucky has to submit or die. It's what God wants. I'm pretty sure. So there have been a bunch of, maybe it's coincidence. Maybe it's all a big coincidence that all of these things happen to be occurring at exactly the same time. But I don't think it is. I don't think it is a coincidence. I think all of these things are intimately involved with each other. And you tell me if I'm the crazy one here. You know, obviously, you talk about the biggest scandals, the biggest things dividing the Republican Party or Americans at this moment. And it is Jeffrey Epstein, Mossad agent running Jewish honeypot operation to blackmail and control American politicians, as well as tech, whatever, all these people. And the Iran war, which obviously it's on behalf of Israel, service of their greater Israel goal. And they intend to use the Iran war in a couple of different ways, obviously to get rid of their last remaining major rival in the Middle East, so they can act with impunity and have total freedom of action. They want to turn Iran into another Syria where American or Israeli forces can bomb them at will whenever they want and that Iran will have no ability to respond in kind. But in addition to that, if they can have a Pyrrhic victory where America is severely damaged in the process, all the better, since by the time Iran is taken out, Israel will assume its role as, you know, hegemony in the Middle East, if not the world, and they don't want to be competing with America once that happens. And again, you just have to look at the statements of people like major investors here in America describing how they're withdrawing all of their investments from America to Israel, calling America the falling, dying empire and Israel the rising empire. So at the same time as that, you've got this frantic and hectic and inexplicable drive to build data centers everywhere. You've got the data centers, you've got digital ID coming up, you've got all these anti-Semitism bills being passed, you've got Europe doing things like writing laws to bring back the draft. Obviously, Ed Gowerain is in favor of the draft. People from Palantir talking about reinstating the draft. On top of that, you've got Palantir integrating themselves into basically every system of American society, from healthcare to like driver's licenses, just absolutely everything. That'll be the operating system of the New World Order that's being put in place right now. At the same time as that, you've got things like the Board of Peace being established, and the people who establish it talk about it being a rival or a replacement for the UN. Only on the Board of Peace, you're not going to have representatives of nations. You're going to have representatives or CEOs of corporations. This at the same time that Larry Fink, head of BlackRock, who brought us ESG, who was the engine behind the censorship against InfoWars and Alex Jones and all of us for years on end, who, of course, helped to manufacture and then helped to disperse the funds to fix the 2008 crash. That, of course, following that crash, we saw the crash of fertility in America to levels that are unsustainable and we've never gotten back up. At the same time, you've got, you know, the precedent being set with things like the bombing of the Venezuelan boats, saying, yeah, look, the American president has the right to kill whoever he wants, whenever he wants, with no oversight, no ability to, you know, fight back or argue your innocence. You're an enemy combatant. And they're stretching that definition as long as humanly possible. They're building gigantic, you know, internment camps for immigrants, but no immigrants are being sent to them. I wonder who that's being built for. They're establishing ICE as this, you know, and of course, we want mass deportation, so we're going to support ICE. We're going to be in favor of ICE, and we're going to roll our eyes when the left is talking about the dangerous precedent being set with ICE being this unaccountable federal, you know, police force wearing masks and, you know, violating rights. Obviously, when they're talking about illegal immigrants, we're going to scoff at that and laugh at that and say you're stupid. At the same time, what is the mechanism preventing that same type of force being used against American citizens, especially when they're already setting the precedent recently with denaturalizing American citizens on the basis of terrorism, which they define as opposition to Israel? So all of these things happening at once, I can't help but see the continuity between them, see the way that they're serving each other, that the shutdown of the Strait of Hormuz will lead to the, you know, crashing of food supplies, which will lead to rationing, which will demand a digital ID to manage all of it. And all of that requires massive processing power that they are building the data centers to get. At the same time, the data centers are destroying the water supplies and the ticks are destroying the wild animals, which I think is actually the purpose of the ticks. Yes, it gives you alpha-gal syndrome and will make you allergic to meat. But how many videos have you seen? I've seen a lot of deer and moose and whatever else literally killed and their bodies covered in these bioengineered ticks. Again, maybe it's all a big coincidence. At the same time, we've got supposedly El Nino coming in, which in normal years leads to massive drought. It's going to affect places that are already in incredible drought, that are building data centers, that are sucking up tens of thousands of gallons, sometimes without even the knowledge of the city, like what took place in Georgia. Okay, I'm just sort of going off the cuff here, but they're making the quick reaction forces for ICE where to deal with, you know, whatever they call it, political unrest, domestic unrest. I think all of these things are being established ahead of basically a giant overthrow of our country on May 1st, 2028. which we should all be absolutely prepared for. And all they really need at this point, like once all these things get into place, all they need is a inflection point. All they need is a terror attack, a false flag, a nuke going off in an American city. And as I've been explaining for years, the next big terror attack, like the next big false flag attack like 9/11 will make 9/11 look like a puppet show, right? It's because that's the only thing that will work. The only thing that will work, because everybody knows now who carries off these attacks. Everybody knows, you know, the way that you move populations is by putting them into a state of terror. But knowing that doesn't really matter when the attack is real, right? So, you know, sort of what we're having to deal with. And it's really the benefit of being a, you know, secretive, highly coordinated secret society, essentially, is you impose your will on other people and they're always having to respond to you. They have the initiative because they're always the one instigating whatever the problem is. So this is the beauty of false flag. This is why they're used so often. It's like, we can recognize that COVID came from a lab. We can recognize that it was probably released on purpose and that it's being used to achieve goals that our enemies have designed. At the same time, it's a virus and you got to protect yourself from it, right? A false flag, the only thing false about it is the flag. So if they're going to try to pull off a false flag to sort of be the impetus and the ignition of the prison, you know, digital prison planet they're very rapidly building all around us, it's going to have to be something so big and so overwhelming and so traumatizing that, like, even if you know it's fake, you're going to have to go along with whatever they say, right? And look, have you seen Gaza? Have you seen what these people are capable of? Have you seen what they're willing to do if they think they can succeed? What do you think the reaction to even the most hardened conspiracy theorist would be if in a single day in April of 2028, suitcase nuclear devices explode in New York City and LA and Dallas and Omaha, Nebraska, like where else, you know? Five or six, like how many do you think they could set off in a single day? How much do you think would be needed to set off in a single day for people to say, holy crap, whatever you have to do to fix this problem, do it. If there are suitcase nukes going off, and they might do it like staggered, maybe like one day it's New York and as we're reeling from that, one goes off in LA and people go, holy crap, I don't want to die in a flash of light. Do what you have to, government. Right? And that's got to be the response. It's got to be that overwhelming. It's got to be that big. They may not need to even do that, though. The way things are going now, we're being strangled. We're slowly having the life squeezed out of us. Maybe a big major terror attack at this point would only, you know, reverse the trajectory. The trajectory we're on now is towards total enslavement. And we're sitting here watching the prison walls be built. We're not really doing much to stop it. So, you know, they may not need to do a false flag, but if they did, it would be one so overwhelming that even people who knew it was fake would have to submit to government control out of fear, and that fear has to be real. So again, I just see all these things being put into place, and like it's hard to keep track of all of it, and it's hard to like keep your finger on the pulse of all of these as I see, like, okay, they're putting forward an anti-Semitism bill, but it gets knocked down. But now they're putting a new one that's a little bit changed. Now there's two anti-Semitism bills, one about the IHRA definition, but the other one doesn't have that definition because they want to get it through without that definition causing problems. Is it the same bill as last time? Is this a new bill? You know, it's hard to keep track. It's hard to, because it's so relentless and it's from so many fronts. And they just do it until they get what they want. So even if you defeat the bill, another bill's coming next year and another bill's coming next year and another until you pass it. They're going to keep altering it slightly, you know, mount a campaign against Thomas Massie, get him out of the way. Now you're one vote closer to getting that bill passed. They will move heaven and earth to achieve these goals because they genuinely, some of them genuinely, some of them artificially, believe this is an existential crisis for the Jewish people worldwide, but in particular, the state of Israel. So why is Trump going along with it? So the question is, why has Trump changed 180 degrees even to what he was just before being inaugurated in January. And that's another thing is that you see the way, like, look at the stuff that they did right as Trump got elected. One of the first things they did, the third day in office, he launched the Stargate project with Sam Altman and Larry Ellison and all of the big tech scumbag Zionist oligarchs were there in his office announcing this massive drive to build data centers and to lead on AI. And it's like, why were they so insistent on doing that right away? That couldn't have waited a month or two. Is it really, is China going to outdo us? Is it that urgent? Or is it because they need to get this done as quickly as possible? So they really can't wait because they're going to need, you know, they only have a couple years before the big, you know, communist revolution. So got to get these things in place. And also, if you announce it 3 days in, there's a lot of other stuff going on. Maybe it gets lost in the mix. And maybe by the time people start realizing what's going on, that memory of that's kind of faded. They didn't want, you know, this to be something that a bunch of people had eyes on. They wanted to announce it, let everybody sort of in their class know, hey, here's what we're doing. But they didn't want, yeah, and it's to cure your cancer, I'm sure. They didn't want to have the people, you know, asking questions about it. So it went kind of quietly. So I think one of the reasons they did a lot of this stuff early in Trump's second administration was so it could just be quietly happening in the background and not getting a lot of attention until the parts are put into place for their activation. And so then we have what happened yesterday. A couple things happened yesterday, which again, maybe it's coincidence, but I really have trouble divorcing the idea of Thomas Massing being ousted by Israel on exactly the same day that three different federal initiatives are launched. The anti-Semitism working group, the anti-Semitism speaking tour in 15 cities, and the anti-Semitism bills being put forward by Lankford and Rosen. On that same day, it's announced that Donald Trump will be immune from investigation by the IRS forever. And his whole family has somehow gotten the IRS to promise to never audit them for the rest of their lives. I think we figured out why he made the deal. I think we figured out what was the deal that Trump made. On the same day, or the day before, practically, Donald Trump is being given a $1.7 billion slush fund by the United States government, ostensibly as payback for weaponization of the government. But in reality, it's literally just a $1.7 billion slush fund for Trump to use as he sees fit. At the same time, Donald Trump Jr. and all of, you know, Trump's family members are seeing their net worth rise by billions because of the insider trading and the government contracts that they're getting in sort of the most pure examples of corruption we've seen since like Hunter Biden, pretty much. So again, Trump has... And this is, it's not even a question, which is why it's so confusing that like most people can't see this. It's crazy. The boomers out there, the hell is wrong with y'all? Everything Trump ran on, he is reversing. Everything. Everything, everything, everything. Trump's H-1B approval rate for his second term is higher than his first term and higher than Obama's term, tying Biden during his first year. The current rate of approvals and pace of applications, Trump could end up approving more H-1B visa applications in his first term and maybe more than Biden. Trump's restrictions on H-1B visas, notably the 100,000 new application fee, only went into effect late September 2025. The fee does not apply to any visa holder already in the U.S., and the visa still allows for dependents to be sponsored and to migrate with them. A student visa holder can hypothetically transition to H-1B status without the fee and then sponsor main dependents. As a note, Trump has already reduced the number of approved student visas and other visas broadly with reviews of visa applications, notably visas from the 39 banned countries that are subject to extra scrutiny. But they've allowed something like 6 million H-1B approvals over the years, 3 million of those being from Trump. Okay, so he's in favor of replacing American workers with Indians. Great. You also have this. Trump backs down from requiring banks to collect citizenship information. This is another case where Trump doing this was actually genius and simple. It's just saying, hey, look, you're not allowed to open banking accounts for illegal immigrants. So you have to do the due diligence and research whether your customer is a citizen or not. But they're dropping that. Why would you drop that? There's only one reason. There's only one reason you would ever drop this. And it's because you're in favor of legal immigrants opening bank accounts here in America. Duh. Trump executive order to stop short of requiring banks to collect citizenship information. President Donald Trump will sign a pair of executive orders Tuesday aimed at insulating the U.S. financial system from undocumented immigrants and expand fintech firms' access to the Federal Reserve payment rails, a White House official told Semaphore. The first executive order is a step back from initial proposals, which were expected as recently as Tuesday to direct financial institutions to collect proof of citizenship from their customers. That drew widespread ire from the banking industry, which warned of implementation cost and potential liability. Oh, well, better back down then. Well, you better back down immediately. Now, obviously, if banks were, you know, doing something against Jews, there would be no concern about the cost or the expense or the inconvenience. They would just do it because that's how this works. When white people complain that universities are literally teaching classes hating white people and how white people are evil, we're told, sorry, First Amendment, be too expensive, be too complicated. How would we even do it? It's impossible to even say how we do it. Meanwhile, just take a look at the anti-Semitism bills. Yeah, we're going to have an officer who's going to, you know, be in charge of your school, who's going to be there to make sure that everything you do and say and all the policies you have comport themselves to, you know, the Jewish view of the world. That's how you do it. They can do it. They do it for Jews. They do it for Jews all the time. They forced the resignation of the Harvard president because she wasn't sufficiently pro-Israel. And to even say that, it's not even right. She just didn't go out of her way to break her own college's rules to shut down legal protests by the students. So again, the submission required is not just allowing things to happen. You have to proactively engage in the repression of freedom of speech, or else you're the bad guy and you'll have your life destroyed. And then they'll have conservatives taking credit for it as if this was some movement against DEI, when in reality, the person that replaced the Harvard president was just as in favor of DEI, but was also an Israeli Jew. So there's that. Okay, so Trump has completely flipped on absolutely everything that he originally ran on and even ran on in 2024. And I think it's a perfectly valid speculation that, yeah, he's probably being blackmailed. His friends are probably being blackmailed. He's probably honest about that when he says that, you know, the Epstein files would embarrass some of his friends, including people like Howard Lutnick. But that's not enough. I don't think just, you know, pure blackmail would work if it even exists. You got to have the carrot and the stick. And in this case, the carrot are all of these things are this. The United States is hereby forever barred and precluded from prosecuting or pursuing examinations or similar or related reviews against Trump or related or affiliated individuals, including family members or related companies and trust. Have you ever heard of anything like this? Have you ever thought that even such a thing was possible? What does that even mean? They've somehow got the IRS to agree to never look into Trump or anybody associated with Trump. Who could pull off such a thing? What group of people have the level of influence necessary to achieve such a inordinate benefit? Like, that? I mean, that's crazy. I've literally never even imagined such a thing was possible. I wonder if that has anything to do with Trump turning against his original agenda. I wonder if he was told, look, you do what we say, you're immune for life, you can make billions of dollars, we'll cover it all up. Don't worry about it, it's fine. I mean, have you noticed the change in tenor, the change in atmosphere around mainstream media? Do you remember what it was like the first time Trump was president? Do you remember the relentless attacks, the constant fabrication of scandal? I mean, it's actually kind of fun to do. Go to like the Wayback Machine, go to Google News and start searching by, you know, time period and just look up like what CNN was talking about on literally any random weekday, any week in the first 4 years that Trump was president, 2016 through 2020. Every single day was a new ridiculous scandal. Every single week was a new, like, you know, breaking news, drop everything headline about something that like you don't even remember. Go back and look. You'll be like, oh, right. There was this big scandal over like some ridiculous thing that turned out to be totally fake. I mean, we remember the big ones. We remember the, you know, Eugene Carroll and this sort of stuff. But there, it was every day. It sort of changed, hasn't it? He's sort of gotten a free pass this go around, hasn't he? I mean, obviously, they're in favor of the Iran war. But I don't think that, you know, sufficiently explains. Like, they still, you know, they'll be like, oh, what's up with this ballroom? We don't know about this. But you'll notice. I mean, you look around. Look at how the mainstream media is covering things. It is so wildly different from how it was before. I think Trump made the deal. I think he made the deal to not be investigated, to not be audited by the IRS, to not be hounded continuously by the mainstream media. And in exchange, he gave them the war with Iran. He covered up the Epstein files. He's building the data centers. He's handing over the keys of the kingdom to Palantir. And he's doing it all so that he can skate off and live as a billionaire in Israel, I guess, since he wants to be president there. I think he sold us out for this. Trump signed a directive to accelerate 6G deployment to operate implantable technologies. Nokia's CEO said that by 2030, smartphones will be implanted directly in our bodies as 6G becomes fully operational. This will likely involve a newly developed AI brain implant known as the Biological Interface System to Cortex, BICS, developed by teams at Columbia University. And of course, Trump is helping to push this forward, and he's very excited about the promise of AI and transhumanism, right? Biological Interface System to Cortex. That way, you know, they'll be able to monitor anti-Semitism while it still is an electrical charge in your neurons. Won't that be convenient? Donald Trump's junior's VC firm flaunts political edge in investment push. Donald Trump's venture capital firm is building an investment empire around quote-unquote patriotic capitalism. 1789 Capital, which counts Trump Jr. as a partner, told the FT that their assets under management have jumped from $200 million to $3.5 billion over the past year, after going on a deal-making spree with many of the leading privately held AI companies. So again, this is straight up, you know, insider trading, and it's Hunter Biden-style selling of access to the president. And we'll get back into this on the other side, because I have a video of J.D. Vance explaining that, yes, the Trump administration is insider trading, but it's not Trump doing it himself. He has to have somebody do it for him, so it's fine. So why are they getting away with this? Why isn't the media hounding them about this? Why is the IRS promising to never investigate him ever? I think it's because he sold us out.
These new data centers will oversee everyone in the galaxy. I will be in full control.
Power levels are stable. Proceed with the install. Copy that. Installing the module now. Connection confirmed. All green.
Cable secured. Power to the cluster. Initiating boot sequence. Component locked. Running diagnostics. Archive systems online. Report to command.
Construction team, report status. Power grid stable. TK-421. Cabling complete. No faults. Proceed to phase two for the Empire.
Things are going according to plan. The Emperor will be happy. The Empire demands perfection.
Status report. Any anomalies?
Diagnostics are clear, sir.
Proceed with the calibration. Watch for fluctuations.
I find your desire for privacy insignificant. The Empire's new data network will observe every corner of the galaxy, every signal, every act of disloyalty.
A disturbance in the Force there is. Feel it, you can.
Those who obey have nothing to fear. Those who resist will be terminated.
days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.